I love that interaction, that engagement. I've gotten better at building that engagement with the live audience, and it makes it really fun for me and for them. We connect better when it's live, and then we can address the questions in the live Q&A as well.
Most hosts never achieve the results they hoped for. They're falling short on listenership and monetization, meaning their message isn't being heard and their show ends up costing them money. This podcast was created to help you grow your listenership and make money while you're at it. Get ready to take notes. Here's your host, Adam Adams.
What's up, podcaster? It's Adam A. Adams, your host. And today we are talking with somebody who is a Facebook ad specialist. She also has a podcast that is connected with her business to bring more impact and income through her people. And this is where I want to start with Monica. Monica Louie, all of her links, her bio, that's already in the show notes. So easy for you. You just scroll down and you can read anything you want to read, connect with her any way that you want to connect with her. Her podcast link is there as well. So let's jump in. Monica, I was wondering how you use your podcast in conjunction with the business that you have and any takeaways that could help another person who might be in the same situation.
Yeah. So I have my ads agency. So we have a virtual team. We run ads for 6, 7, 8-figure online businesses. And then I also teach Facebook ads. So I know the importance of growing your audience and, you know, warming them up. And as a longtime podcast listener, I knew that one day I probably would have my own podcast because I just love finding great podcasts and just diving into them and binge listening when I find a really good one. So I know that how podcasts as a listener has helped me build those relationships with my mentors. And so I wanted to create that same thing. So that's my goal and initially in building my podcast. Another benefit, along with helping me create those relationships with my audience, is that it's been a really great tool for networking. I love networking, meeting other business owners. And so it's been a great platform for me to use to bring guests on my show, build relationships with them if I want to learn more about their business, or friends that I have made online, bring them and have them showcase their business and what's working really well in their business. So it's been a great learning tool for me as the interviewer, but also it's been really great for networking when I interview people on my show and then I see them at the conference. You know, we already had that rapport, and it's even led to referrals and clients, which was not the goal initially in building the podcast. I really was focused on the listener, but it's been great to bring really great guests on my show as well.
So what I think I'm hearing, and I might not have gotten all of them, but a few of the benefits that you've had and how you use your podcast is, one of them, you interview people on the show and you're able to connect with them, network with them, become more friends with them, and you could possibly do business with them. You could also, and you've seen a few referrals come from the guests that you've had on your show. That's a big one. The next big one is adding more value to your avatar on a consistent basis, staying in front of them, being able to be yourself and relatable so that they can ultimately decide, hey, I need somebody to do Facebook ads for me. I may as well call Monica because I get a lot of value from her. I know she knows what she's doing. And on top of that, it sounds like it helps with either the guests or the listener. And I've seen this in my business as well. When I'm at a conference that's related to the business. For example, I used to have a real estate podcast, and then I would go to a real estate place and everyone knew my name. And the same thing with this last time that we went to a podcast space. Well, not everybody knew our name in the podcast space yet, but it was actually interesting to have a couple dozen out of, I think it was like 3,000 people. That's bad odds, but it still was really cool to have a couple dozen people come up and say, I love your podcast. I listen every day. And that connection helps so much to streamline further the relationships that we're building. And was there any other things that you use your podcast for that you should mention to us now?
Well, I think another benefit, again, not intentionally. Well, one of the goals was to help me improve my speaking ability. And So it has helped lead to me speaking on more stages and at more conferences just by, again, making connections. So I've spoken at Podcast Movement, which is, I think, how we connected. And so I've spoken there a couple of times. And really, you know, I wouldn't be speaking at that conference if I didn't have my own podcast. And so it's really opened up the doors for other speaking opportunities and other ways to connect with my audience as well.
That's awesome. There's this guy named Pete Vargas who talks about you getting on as many stages as possible. Stages for him are podcasts are a stage, virtual meetups are a stage, virtual conferences are a stage, in-person conferences are a stage. There's some webinars are a stage, conjoined like collective webinars where you're promoting your friends are all stages. And he talks about it being like a really awesome way to stand on the shoulders of giants, stand on the shoulders of other people leading your industry, like you spoke at Podcast Movement. And now you're able to get in front of the people that they've been adding value to. I feel like it's called like hacking. It's like hacking into the followers of all of these people. And I think it comes a lot, like you mentioned, you said, because of the podcast, I'm able to get on more stages. And I've noticed that when we have a thought leadership platform, like when you have a thought leadership platform, people think of you first as somebody who can add value on their stage. And also there's many times there's hope for the reciprocity of joining forces where you get in front of their audience and they get in front of yours. So I noticed also a lot of people that have a show have an easier time getting on other people's shows or some of these other stages that you were mentioning. And Pete Vargas always shares to people that they have to do. I'm curious if we move into this idea of a funnel. Once I hosted this conference, this small group of 100 people. And what we did is we took these 5-gallon buckets and then we took water bottles, little pint-sized water bottles. And we told everybody to pour the water into the bucket and then pour the bucket water back into the small itty-bitty water bottle. But everybody was spilling and they all said they needed a funnel. And I think our podcasts and our businesses need a funnel. How does it look like when we're using a podcast as part of a funnel?
Yes. So the way that I like to use it is use it in conjunction with my own Facebook ads. And this is what I teach. This is what part of what I spoke at Podcast Movement is using your podcast to build the relationship, but then also to drive traffic. So as you mentioned in your show notes, I always mention the link to my show notes and let them know that they can find the links and resources there. But I also, in every single episode, have a call to action for my free Facebook Ads Starter Kit. And then I give the URL on the episode and direct people there. And so that brings people to my email list to enter into my email funnel. But then also, if people, whether they opt in for the free guide or not, they're getting pixeled with the Facebook pixel once they get there. So when I'm running ads, I can get in front of them with my ads because they're getting picked up in the pixel in my warm website visitors audience. I can get back in front of them with other offers down the road. So that is how we can start with very top of funnel, building that brand awareness, that relationship, and get people into our funnel through our podcasts.
Man, I definitely missed one part, but I got a lot of really good stuff. The part that I need more detail on is how that relationship is working. You did say I use the podcast to build the funnel. And I believe that it's probably because you say you have that starter kit. So you can verify this in a moment, but here's the main takeaways that I got. You always do links and resources in your show notes, like links to things that we talked about, resources that, like we mentioned, that will help you with your podcast or for you, help you with your Facebook ads. But you additionally have, I call it a lead magnet. You have a free starter kit. And I have like 6 or 7 lead magnets, but they're all things that I think a podcaster wants. I know a podcast wants the stuff, so I put it in the best form that I can. And for me, it's like, if we're already talking about that subject, I'll offer this lead magnet. If we're talking about a different subject, I'll offer this other one. Like if we're talking about mics, I'll share my PDF that has all the vetted mics. If we're talking about how to monetize a show, I'll share like, here's a template that'll help you get your sponsors. And you've got this thing like called a free starter kit. And it sounds like you said you mentioned it on each and every one. Two questions on that. The first one that I think is really important for somebody who's so good at marketing, like that's your business. Marketing is your business. Do you offer this startup kit as a recorded ad, or do you shoot from the hip or read it live each time where it just kind of maybe sounds more like it's coming from the heart? You're just speaking into the listener. Oh, and by the way, go ahead and get this if that'll be helpful. Which way do you kind of like lean? Is it a recorded ad or a live read ad?
Yeah, I do it live every single time. So most of the time it's a starter kit. If I have a webinar coming up or something, then I'll, you know, switch to that because that's the thing at the moment. But I do it live and I share about the benefits of it in each episode.
So I think of a webinar as another like funnel. I think of it another step. It's another lead magnet. When I run webinars, we're able to have, I think it's called a CSV file, honestly. I don't remember what it's called, but we're able to like download all of the people that wanted to be on there. And we would be able to tell them little checkbox that join this webinar and we'll send you emails to make sure that they're allowed to be on there. Do you think of a webinar also as like part of a funnel, part of like the top of the funnel, getting people to take like that second action from the first?
Absolutely. A webinar is definitely a lead magnet on its own, but you can also get your warm audience to opt in for the lead magnet to join the webinar, but definitely. So that's a way to promote that. So that's why when it's time, then I'll share that on my show too.
Are your webinars mostly evergreen pre-recorded webinars, or are they mostly live Q&A? Like, even though I might do the same webinar lots of times, I want to be doing it like I want to actually be doing it and not recorded. Which way do you kind of lean, or do you both?
Yeah. So I have done recorded in the past, but right now I'm doing live and I love that interaction, that engagement. I've gotten better at building that engagement with the live audience and makes it really fun for me and for them. We connect better when it's live and then we can address the questions in the live Q&A as well.
Hopefully listener is going to want your starter kit anyway. But I also would love to hear like an idea of, since you say it on every episode, what exactly do you say about that starter kit? How do you get us hooked and know that we need to have a starter kit to be able to be more successful?
Yeah. So I say something pretty similar to, if you're ready to grow and scale your business this year using Facebook and Instagram ads, then I invite you to grab my free Facebook ad starter kit. You can find that at monicalouie.com/guide. The starter kit takes you through the 6 simple steps to create campaigns that convert. Plus, there's a glossary in there. If you're new to Facebook ads, it has its own kind of lingo, so you'll never be lost. But then also there's a really cool checklist at the end, so you can make sure that you've got everything you need when you dive into the ads manager. So you can grab that at monicalouie.com/guide.
All right. Perfect. So it starts out like, I feel like you call out your avatar.
Yeah.
You let them know, like, instead of giving a whole bunch of fluff in the beginning, like just stuff that doesn't matter to somebody, you start by at least letting that person know that you know what they're looking for. So if that's them, they're probably going to listen to the rest. So if you're ready to do Facebook ads, if you're ready to take your business to the next level, then the person's like, oh yeah, I actually do want to start doing Facebook ads or whatever. Then you say, I invite you to take advantage of, and you tell them what it is. And then you go into a small amount more detail, not much. It was still very short and sweet. And I think that helps it be effective. But you said it is these 6 simple steps. And I think I've done a little bit of research and I found out, like, if you say 3, which is the most common, most popular number that people will click on, or 5 or 1 or 6 or whatever steps, it goes 3, 5, 1, 6. It's kind of the thing that I've seen. But if you say these 6 steps, it's interesting because somebody will think like, what am I missing out on? I might know lots of steps, but I'm not sure if I know these 6 steps. And I definitely want to be effective. So it helps them be more likely to take advantage of that. When they go to, I think you said it was monicalouie.com/something.com, which whatever it is, we'll put it in our show notes so that they can find it. But with that said, when they go there, what are they, is there like 7 different calls to actions? Like, here's my bio, here's the about us section. Is that kind of what that looks like? Or is it short and sweet and has like one CTA?
It is very simple. When you go to that page, you will see it's a very clean, very simple, not fancy at all landing page where you see my picture and then you know, and then it says free Facebook ad starter kit. And you know that you're in the right place to get the starter kit. You click the button, enter your name and email, and then it's on its way to your inbox. So it's very clean. And this is something that I've learned with Facebook ads is to have a very simple landing page. At least when we're driving traffic via Facebook ads, it can help with that conversion rate on the landing page to, you know, not have a bunch of distractions happening on the page. It can increase that conversion rate on that landing page.
I love how you call it a bunch of distractions because it's something where I've worked with people. I'm not a Facebook ad expert like you are. We've helped some people build some funnels in the past. Like we've done a few of those. We help some of our clients now have a website connected to their Facebook, connected to their podcast. But one of the things that most of the people that we start working with, and I'm wondering if this happens to you too, when you start these, you like build these for people too, right? Or is it mostly just doing the ad?
We do the ads. Yeah.
Okay. Well, the reason I'm saying is I've just seen so many people that I think it's partly this fear of missing out or this thought of, well, I don't want them to not know about me. If they want to see my bio, they've got to have access to that. Or if they want to see like my partners, they've got to have access to that. So most of the people we've worked with naturally want to have 7 different buttons. Grab my book here, grab this other thing here, look me up, connect with me on LinkedIn here, connect with me on Facebook, connect with me on Instagram. And I always tell them it's just too overwhelming. It's too many different things for the person to see. But they're like, yeah, but if I don't give these things, if I don't mention these things to them, what if they don't do business with me? Because now they don't even know who I am because they didn't get to have a bio. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. So I agree with you. I think you want to have one call to action and one thing, you know, one thing for them to do. At the end of the starter kit, I do have a page where it's about me and it's my bio and a little bit about what I do and who, you know, who I work with. And then in the welcome series, so in the nurture sequence, as they enter, they get on my email list, and then we have a welcome series to tell them a little bit about my story and how I got into Facebook ads, give them some more value around Facebook ads. And then it leads into the positioning of the product if they want to take the next step into working with me. So that's how I handle that.
So I'm trying to visualize this myself and let our listener also just have this at least in their mind's eye. Your podcast is at the very top of a funnel. Mm-hmm. And having them take a little action and confidence in you enough to give you their email address to get this awesome, valuable free starter kit so they can go to the next level is kind of like the second step of this funnel where they're coming closer down to the bottom. And these emails maybe perhaps could be the third step of the funnel where you're continuing to add value. You're talking a little bit more about you, where you came from, your story, letting them follow that in bite-sized pieces. And the emails are going toward a different call to action. They're going toward something like, perhaps I'm guessing here, work with us, schedule a discovery call with my company, or join our, like we've got this online course that gives you more A to Z. So there's like a third step. And the fourth and final step is like after the discovery call, it's like, we can do this for you. I probably taught you how to do this free starter kit. Some of you are going to be great with it. Some of you want a little bit of help. My team helps. This is how we do it. Is that kind of what your funnel looks like? And if I missed anything, could you like fill in the gaps?
Yeah. So it's very similar to that. Really, the funnel points people to Flourish with Facebook Ads, which is my online program where people can learn Facebook ads. We've found with the agency side of the business that we haven't really needed a funnel with that, with word of mouth and me doing my own podcast interviews and things like that and speaking on stages. We have people coming to us naturally, but that is something that we'll mention in an email from time to time about, you know, click here to see what it's like to work with us. So really the funnel is focused on floors with Facebook ads, because that's how I can help more people with their Facebook ads. Whereas the agency done for you model, we like to be a smaller boutique agency and really give a premium level of service to our clients. So we like to keep a small number of clients so we can give them the high level of attention. So that's the way that we've handled that. But yeah, I mean, the funnel very much builds that relationship. I continue to give value throughout the emails about here are some tips to lower your costs, things like that. And then it points people to Flourish. And then if they don't opt in for, you know, take advantage of the offer for Flourish, then they're just on my weekly newsletter and I continue to stay in touch with them via email. And then they'll be notified the next time I do a promotion for Flourish or have a flash sale or something like that.
That's good stuff. You mentioned something a little bit earlier about a pixel. Now,
yes,
my guess is there's 3,500 people listening right now. And seven of them know what you're talking about. Seven of them are like, oh yeah, pixel data. We do that all the time. That's obvi. Obvi is like a way to say obvious. My right. kids taught me. Anyway, let's move on. Pixel data. I think very few people know what that is. If you know what that is and you're listening, applaud yourself. You're probably at the next level. But if you don't, Monica's about to share what is this whole pixel data. It sounds like she's taken photos with a digital camera or something.
Yeah. So a pixel, it's a piece of code that I've got to preface this. I'm not very techie. What I'm going to say is sounds techie, but I'm not techie at all. So the pixel is a piece of code that Facebook is associated with your ad account. And all you do is you copy and paste it into the back end of your website and all your landing pages. So I use lead pages for other landing pages, like that free guide landing page. So you need to put it in the back end of every single website and web page. If you have your main domain and you paste it in there once, then it'll cover every page on that main domain. But what it does is it allows your website to communicate with Facebook. And so this allows us to do a few different things. So when we're running our ads, it allows Facebook to track the conversion. So as I'm running ads to my free Facebook Ad Starter Kit or for my webinar or whatever, I can tell Facebook that, hey, I'm pointing people to this page, but when they get to this thank you page, confirmation page, then that is a conversion. So that communicates to Facebook to say, okay, we got a conversion. You know, this worked the way that we wanted it to. So that helps the algorithm optimize the ads to show the ads to more people in the audiences you select who are more likely to convert. So it sees who's actually engaging, who's actually taking that step that you want people to take. And then it helps the algorithm to focus your ads to help you get better conversions. So that's one way that it allows you to use the pixel. The other way that I mentioned earlier is it allows me to create an audience of people who visited my website. So whether they opt in for my starter kit or they go to my Work With Me page or whether they just check it out and then leave, they're pixeled. And so I can create an audience of people who visited my website and then get back in front of them with my ad. So maybe I get back in front of them with the starter kit and an ad. So maybe they got distracted when they were on my site and then maybe they see the ad and they opt in that way. So it allows me to get back in touch with them, even though they haven't joined my email list yet. And so I can let them know what's going on.
Okay. My sweetheart and I were at a French restaurant. And there was this wine that was relatively inexpensive, but fantastic. It was just delicious. So I looked it up. I went to their website. And then for a week or two after that day, including the very, like, I don't remember if it was that evening, but it was certainly by the very next day, I started continuing to see ads of discounted products, wine products from that same winery. And I'm wondering if it's because they may have used pixels, do you think?
Absolutely. Yep. That's exactly what they did.
All right. Perfect. So now we know they get on our website, and because of this code, we don't necessarily need their email address, but we're able to, I think because of cookies or something, I'm not sure, you could correct me, you're going to be able to take that list and use them as your target audience on these other platforms. Is that right? Yeah.
So you don't get a list per se. Facebook, you know, protects privacy and all of that. But if they go to your website, then they can be picked up in this website as an audience and you can get back in front of them. And then once they join your list, then you'll have their information.
Really, really good stuff. Wondering, so you gave us lots of pieces of the funnel that you use And I'm curious if you can look from like a Facebook ads perspective, since that's your expertise, for the listener who is a podcaster or about to start a podcast, how would they use Facebook ads to grow their podcast and or their business as a podcaster?
Absolutely. Okay. So the one way is to do exactly what I do, where I send people to my show notes page, their pixels. When they visit that, I like to put all the links and resources, because as a podcast listener, I love to be able to, you know, if I hear a cool tool or book or something that I want to go check out, then I love it when they put the links and the resources in the show notes. So that's what I started doing with my own podcast from day one, because me as a listener, I think that's super helpful. So I have a call to action to go check out the links and resources in the show notes. So when people go there and I put the URL for that show note page in my description for my podcast, so it's right there. And then when they go there, then they're pixeled. And so I can get back in front of them with my freebie, for my lead magnet, with my next promotion, whatever that is. And then to grow the podcast, one thing that we have done that works really well is to run ads for your, you know, a popular show, or maybe you have a great guest or a topic that is going to resonate really well with your target audience. And then just like you would promote your show on social media, I know you've talked on your show about using the Headliner app to make the graphics and with the audio and all of that. So we'll use that. And then we'll just plug that into an ad. And then we can target people who are likely to be interested in what our show is about. And then also we'll narrow the audience to people who are interested in podcasts, because we're hoping that if they're interested in podcasts, they're interested in listening to podcasts. And so that's how we kind of narrow down to bring more listeners to the show. And so we've done that very successfully with our own show and then also with our clients' podcasts as well. So that's a way to drive traffic. The kind of challenging part about that is that because of the limited tracking that we have with like the podcast stats, is it's hard to see that click to know that they, you know, actually downloaded the episode. Many times I know I'll see a podcast episode that I make note of that, oh, that looks really good. I may not be ready to listen to a show right then, or I might be in the middle of another show, but then I will go to my podcast app later and go find that episode. So there may be a delay. It may not be a direct in that moment they clicked over and downloaded, but with that strategy, I like to point people to the show notes. So if they click over, then they're pixeled and I can create audiences of people who've not only visited my website in general, but also people who have visited my podcast page or any of my show notes pages. So then we can narrow down, you know, for the people who are likely to be interested in listening to the podcast.
A lot of questions here. One thing just to clarify, you have show notes that people can scroll down and see show notes. And in those same show notes, you have a link, a hyperlink to the show notes page, which is, and I'm looking at episode 118 from last year right now. It's monicalouie.com/118. Make it that easy. And I'm wondering, why would somebody need to go to the show notes page if they were already seeing the show notes? Are they going to miss something that's special to the website so you can pixel them there?
Yeah. So in the description of what we upload to Apple Podcasts is just basically a summary of the episode and what they're going to learn, some bullet points, you know, calling out what they're going to learn. And then we put the URL to the show notes. So in order to see the links and resources and everything else and find out more information about our guest or whatever the topic is, then you need to click over and go to the show notes. So that brings people to that page.
All right. I'm probably going to start doing that. I learned something super tangible today. We put all of the resources just down in the show notes. And now I'm thinking I'm going to do exactly what you do. I love it. It's awesome. Monica, I'm loving where this is going. I definitely want to get some helpful tools that you might be able to share with the listener, as well as maybe just like a secret tip that nobody knows about Facebook ad conversion to make this more effective. But let's quickly take a break for our sponsor, and then we'll be right back.
Hey, my friend. As you know, this episode is sponsored by my company, GrowYourShow.com. We want you to be able to have the best tools at your disposal without costing you a whole arm and a leg. So right now, you can get a free list of vetted equipment that, like mics, mixers, webcams, sound treatment, editing software, everything that you need. I created the whole PDF with direct purchase links just to save you time and money to help it be more convenient for you. So this free PDF will help you skip all the guesswork. If it's on there, it's vetted and approved by yours truly. And if it's not on there, it's probably not worth the money. So go ahead and get yours at growyourshow.com/PDF. Let's get back into the show.
We are back with Monica Louie, the Facebook ad expert, who can help you to be able to grow your audience, make a bigger impact and income. We're going to talk a little bit about tools real fast before we jump off this episode. And we're going to see if she can give us a hyper secret trick to making our Facebook ad conversion even higher, because we don't want to spend too much money per click. We want to be able to get our eyeballs, more eyeballs on this stuff. So Monica, are there any tools that maybe you haven't mentioned yet that you would like us to make sure we're that are in the show notes for the listener to grow a podcast?
Sure. So for scheduling, I use Acuity Scheduling. And so that allows me to specify, you know, what dates and times that I am available for podcasts for my guests to sign up with me to interview them. And so I use that. And then I have a form in there where I can collect their information. Once I launch the podcast, social media handle, we just created a special podcast block for that. And it makes it super easy. And directly with Zoom. And so send over the Zoom link. So they have a specific Zoom link for that appointment. And then we both have it. No need to go back and forth. We do like to have my assistant kind of email just to remind people, you know, your podcast interview is happening next week. We're looking forward to seeing you. Da 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 da. Just a little reminder. So some people may kind of tune out the automated email reminders that come from Acuity Scheduling. So that seems to work well. And then for promotion, we use Headliner. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. As far as recording, I use Zoom. And then my editor will take the audio from the Zoom recording and edit it all up and get it scheduled for me.
Oh, good stuff. I'm going to share what I just learned from you. Acuity. I use Calendly, but Acuity.
Yeah, very similar.
It simplifies your guest onboarding process. It just makes your guest onboarding process a bit easier. Once they go to the link, they are able to put like their headshot, their bio, all the stuff that you're going to need. They might even know if there's some questions, you can add that to the template so they can see those ahead of time. And additionally, you like Acuity, and I like Calendly for the same reason, is that it integrates with Zoom. So it'll generate a brand new link, a unique Zoom link, to be able to record. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, to make it more likely that the person will definitely be on, is you send, or you have your assistant send, a reminder email to the guest. The next takeaway is for promotion, you use Headliner. And my team really loves Headliner. We use it for all of our clients. So these are places where you can get shorter clips, video clips, teasers, trailers. You can build this and it can make it look so professional with just a couple of buttons. So we'll definitely put that. And then you use Zoom, and a lot of people poo-poo Zoom. I use Zoom too, but I like it because it's integrated with everything. Some people are like, oh, this other platform has a higher audio quality or video quality. I think the audio quality and video quality of Zoom is good enough. I think it's plenty. And then the last resource that you mentioned, the fourth one, is that you work with an editor. Either they're on your own team or they are an editing team, but you have somebody else do that so that you're not having to wear all the hats as well. You can kind of just be the star of your show. A lot of good stuff. I really appreciate it. I'm trying to think. So we got tools. Ooh, now we need, if you don't mind, Monica, what is a secret hack? Something that you recently learned or something that your team uses that you're not sure if everybody uses.
For podcasting?
Facebook ads, I mean.
Or Facebook ads. Okay.
Yeah.
So, well, for Facebook ads, I think one of the things, you know, I met with people who say, oh, I tried Facebook ads. Facebook ads don't work for me. Or they think their business is special in some way, or they didn't have good luck. They felt like they were wasting their money. And they're like, okay, Zuckerberg doesn't need more of my dollars, you know? And so one of the things is to really think through what is the goal of your campaign. Make sure that you're setting your campaign up to optimize for that goal. So there are different whole bunch of different conversion campaign objectives. But if your goal is the opt-in for a webinar or a freebie or even a purchase, then you want to use the conversion objective. And so then to figure out if your ads are working or not, we have to look into the data. And I'm a numbers person, not everybody is, but you want to look at just two things. So the click-through rate of your ad. What is the click-through rate? Is there room for improvement there? If people are not clicking from your ad to get to your landing page, then they're not going to be converting. So your costs are going to be higher than you want them to be. So for a click-through rate for an ad, you want minimum 1%, 3 to 4% or more is phenomenal. So the higher, the better, of course. But look at that. If there's room for improvement on your click-through rate, then that means your ad can do a better job of grabbing attention, you know, stopping the scroll, enticing people to click over. Secondly, if you're looking for that conversion, if you have a decent click-through rate, then look at the conversion rate on your landing page. So how well is that landing page converting? Are there distractions like we talked about on the landing page? Do you have a pop-up that you forgot to disable? Do you have a whole bunch of bells and whistles and different places for people to click? Or is it a super simple landing page? And also look at it on mobile. So for the conversion rate on the landing page, I always like to shoot for 40 to 50%. That landing page that I shared earlier, monicalouie.com/guide, super simple, not anything fancy. It converts at 60 to 70%. And so the higher, the better, of course, on your conversion rate as well there. But if you're 15, 20, 25%, there probably is a little bit that you can tweak on the landing page to help increase that conversion. So people aren't clicking over and bouncing off. You don't want to give them too much information because what we like to do is we like to put the information in the ad. Anything they need to know about the freebie or the offer, we put it in the ad. And then when they click over, all they have to do is enter their name and email and they're good to go.
So far, every successful business that I have ever heard of, so far, they all track what they call KPIs. Mm-hmm. Another way to say that is they track their numbers. And the two KPIs, the two numbers that we should be focusing on our Facebook ad campaign, the most are A, the click-through rate of the ad, and B, the conversion rate of the landing page. And you mentioned that the click-through rate needs to be at least 1%, but you've got some campaigns that might be 3%, 4% or higher. So like three times or four times as effective. And additionally, on the conversion rate, you are looking for 30 to 40 at least, 15 is bad. You've been able to convert at 60%. That means, as I think I'm understanding, they go to the website from the ad, and how likely are they to purchase based on the price of the offer, how it's displayed, that it's clean and concise, and there's not seven different calls to action. You've been able to get 60% of the people that land on this landing page to purchase or even just maybe take action on like a webinar.
I would say that's for a free offer. For a free offer. Yeah, for a paid product, then the conversion rate is going to be usually much lower. Okay. So 1% to 5% is really good. Anything better is really good. So for a paid product, then the conversion rate is likely going to be lower there. But for a freebie, if you're offering your lead magnet or your webinar, whatever that is, then shoot for the 40 to 50% range.
Okay. Now, the follow-up question to this, and I'm so glad you said that. If it's paid, it's going to be less, a fewer number of people, a smaller percentage of them will take the action on a paid thing.
Right.
If it's free and compelling, you might get 30, 40, 50, 60%.
Yes.
How do you know these numbers? Like the click-through rate, I'm familiar. It literally shows on Facebook. So you or your ad person just can look at the ad manager and it will say the click-through rate for that thing.
Right.
But I don't know how you're tracking your conversion rate. How do you know how many viewers you had and buyers you had?
Yeah. So for the conversion rate, I use lead pages. Lead pages will tell me how many people visited that page and then how many people converted on that page. So it does that. I don't find it super accurate. So I like to look at the numbers from Facebook and see, well, how many people actually clicked through from my ad? And then how many opt-ins did I get that Facebook is reporting, or I can see in my email, you know, service provider, how many people opted in from that page. So I can see that that way. And so then I just divide the number of opt-ins that I had divided by the number of people who visited that page. And that gives me the conversion rate on the landing page.
Okay. And if we want to, and by the way, that was called lead pages to track. Okay. So lead
pages. It's a landing page builder.
That will be in the show notes as well. Lead pages. Awesome. And maybe it'll be on the online show notes. Who knows what we'll do by then. But I'm wondering, like, just real quick, the last question, absolute last, is just about split testing. I'm wondering if you would suggest to the listener that they just go and have one ad, one message, one call to action, one photo, one copy, you know, ad copy, or if they should be having like a certain other number to kind of see what's working. What are your thoughts there?
Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of split testing. It's definitely what we use. So we will test a variety of different audiences and then a variety of different ads. So we'll have several different, you know, static image ads. We'll have a video or maybe a couple of videos. We'll have a GIF. We can make a GIF in Canva. That's another tool. So Canva makes it really easy. You can add a little sticker that just adds a little bit of movement, helps to catch the eye in the scroll. And so we'll test that. We'll test different ad formats. So we may have a video ad, a static image ad, and we may have a carousel ad where people will swipe through to look at the various images or videos. So we test all the different things. We'll test long copy, short copy, different headlines. We test all of it because you never know what's going to resonate until you test it. And different ads may work well with different audiences. So different audiences may be drawn to different ads or different ad formats. So that's why we test it all.
That's really cool. Man, it sounds like you might have a dozen ads going on at the same time or something like that for one campaign, one person.
Yeah, it really depends on what the budget is that will allow us to test, how many we can test at any one time. So if we have a smaller budget, we'll test maybe one or two different audiences or one or two different ads. But if we have a larger budget to work with, then we will load up several different ads and several different audiences.
Okay. And if we are going to do this, actual last question, if we're going to do this, what's kind of like a good small budget? Like if our budget is small, should we be thinking at $5 a day, $5 a month? Should we be thinking like, I know people that say you can't get much done with less than $50,000 a month for 6 months straight dollars, right? So what do you think? Like if we're going to be doing this, what should our small end be?
Yeah. So I teach how to get started with Facebook ads for $5 or $10 a day, depending on your goal, depending on the goal of your campaign. If you have more to work with, then you can do more testing. But if you have $5 or $10 a day, that can get you started with the process, start to learn the process. And then as you see things are working, then you can start to increase your budget and test more.
A lot of valuable takeaways, Monica. Really, really appreciate it. And we'll make sure all of the ways to get a hold of you are in the show notes as well. So really appreciate you jumping on. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
All right. You have a good one. Bye.
You too.
You know, I really don't say this nearly enough. I don't mention this and I feel horrible because it's a great resource for you to be able to take your podcast to the next level. And it's simply a free resource that I don't need your email or anything. It's just a podcasting course that I created that is ended up putting in the very first 6 episodes of this podcast. So if you haven't checked it out, definitely going to want to just check out those first 6 episodes, see how they can help you improve your podcast, get in front of more people, and have a better result where you're making more money through the podcast, etc. So much can happen after you listen through episodes 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. So if you haven't done it, go do it now. And by the way, if you're subscribed, you'll keep hearing more great content. So to those of you who are, I'll see you on the next episode.